Shalom and welcome to Torah Bites. Shalom and welcome to Torah Bites for the week of October the 18th, 2014, the 24th of Tishri, 5775. This week's message is entitled Overcoming Evil, and I'm reading from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" The first several chapters of the Torah are essential in our understanding of the world. It's in the first three chapters of the very first book that we learn that we are all born into a good world gone bad. We're not born into a neutral world where random meaningless things just happen, as in, let's make the best of it. We're not born into an absolutely good world where negativity is nothing but a state of mind, as in, don't worry, be happy. Nor do we live in an absolutely corrupt world where no vestiges of its original goodness remain. The world God created was created good, but then evil came into the human experience and has affected all of life. Yet it has not completely eradicated the essential goodness of creation. Therefore, we are living in a world of tension. Every aspect of the creation shouts its divine origin, while at the same time it is tainted by evil. It's instructive to see how evil first came into the world. Not only will that help us have a better understanding of life in general, it equips us to effectively resist evil, confront it, and overcome it. First, evil simply appears on the scene. While scholars and teachers like to delve into the scriptures and other sources to determine a more thorough explanation of evil's origins, the Bible introduces it without much commentary or background. The tempting serpent is just there. It's not as if we'll be more immune to evil's power by understanding its origin. Why we are tempted is not as important as the fact of being tempted. Second, evil was only able to get a foothold because our first parents didn't listen to God. God had clearly given Adam and Eve all they needed to live life within the sphere of the good creation. They were told what to do and what not to do. They were tasked with being the overseers of the planet, being placed over all the other aspects of creation. They were to work the ground and have lots of children. God gifted them with abundant food through the fruit of the trees in the Garden of Eden. He also gave them one prohibition. They were not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet, the one thing they were not to do, they did. We could discuss what was so bad about eating the forbidden fruit. The effect of doing so may help us determine that self-awareness, shame, fear, alienation from God, and alienation from each other is evident through their blame shifting. But it seems to me that this story is given to us to help us not so much to understand the nature of evil, but rather how to avoid making the same mistake. When God created human beings, He designed us to live according to His word. While authorized as stewards over planet Earth, we were not to figure things out on our own. Instead, we were to remain attentive to God's voice, getting our orders solely from heaven. The world in which we lived, while created good, was not to be the source of our direction and goals. God alone was to be our guide and master, so that through us, His will would be done on earth. By doubting God's word and heeding the voice of another, the plans of God were undermined and human beings were no longer in line with His purposes. And ever since then, this scene has been replayed billions of times as people have been given the opportunity to obey God's voice, but just like Adam and Eve, most of the time we've allowed ourselves to be lured away by evil's deception. It's not surprising then that a key aspect of Israel's preparation for entering the Promised Land was learning to depend on God's word, as we read in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, "And He humbled you and let you hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." No one knew this better than the Messiah, who, in contrast to Adam and Eve's failure, didn't succumb to the evil one's devices, but stayed true to God's word by quoting this and other Torah passages. As this week we again begin reading through the Torah another year, let us be reminded to pay careful attention to all that God says to us, for herein is our defense against every onslaught of evil and our guidance in all that is good. Torah Bytes is located on the web at www.torahbytes.org. Comments may be sent to info@torahbytes.org. You can follow us on Twitter at Torah Bytes. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman for Torah Bytes. Lehitraot.